chapter, or Isaiah the 40th chapter, about making straight the way for the Lord. Tonight we want to go to Isaiah the 1st chapter. And we're so blessed tonight to feel the grace of God. It feels good to feel God. Amen. Hallelujah. The liberty of God you can't buy. The peace of God you can't buy. You can't barter. Amen. But I'm thankful for the peace of God that passes understanding. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18. The word of the Lord says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Are you thankful that God has given us an opportunity to come to Him, amen, to reason together? And our sins, though they may be all in our life as scarlet, the Bible says God will wash us and make us white as snow. What a promise tonight to have God on our side. Lord, we thank you for the word of the Lord this evening. Thank you for your goodness, power, your grace, and your mercy. We give you praise, and we thank you for what you're going to do in this service, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Keep your Bibles open. I'm going to just start reading that first chapter. We picked a text, but I want to go through this passage of Scripture. Tonight, we're going to talk about what attracts God. I want to know what gets God's attention, what God loves, and what gets God on my side. Amen. I was so thankful that one day, amen, as a young man, that there was somebody that I was attracted to, but I found a mutualness, that she found that there was something in her that was attracted to me. Though it took a long haul, a long time, I felt, amen, but God finally put us together, and I thank God for that. But I'm most grateful that one day there was an attraction, that the God of heaven looked and began to see something in my life. Amen. Even though I was full of sin and full of iniquity, God saw something in my life worth coming in my life about. Amen. God made a radical difference in my soul. Amen. So we're going to talk about what attracts God tonight. So Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1. It's the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. This is what Isaiah said: "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken, and I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me." God is speaking. He said, "Heaven and earth, you're the jury. I want you to listen to the case." Verse 3, "The ox knoweth his owner, the ass his master's crib, but Israel don't know, doth not know, my people doth not consider." He said, "The ox and the mule knows who's boss, the hand that feeds him." He said, "But Israel, you don't have a clue." Verse 4, "All sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They had provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger, and they are gone away backwards." He's saying, they don't know up from down. They're people who have walked out on me. They walked out on me, their God, and turned their backs on me. Verse 5, "Why should you be stricken anymore? You revolt more and more." And he said, "The whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint." In other words, he said, why bother even trying to do anything with you when you just keep to your bullheaded ways? Now, verse 6, "From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up nor mollified with ointment." He said, you're disgustingly sick, you're infected, and you got all kind of problems. Verse 7, "Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as an overthrown by stranger. He said, you're a waste. You're a pile of rubbish. Look at your condition. You're a waste. You're hopeless. Verse 8, and the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. And he said, once you were a prestigious thing, you were a people that had great clout, but now you're like a deserted little shack in the backwoods. Verse 9, except the Lord had left us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been likened unto Gomorrah. If it had been for the Lord, he's saying, being graceful and leaving a few survivors, you would have been demolished. You would be extinct. But the goodness of the Lord had a little pity in your life. Verse 10, hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. Hear the word, in other words. Get a hold of what God's saying. Open your ears. Get what God is trying to teach you and talk to you about. Verse 11, he said, what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks and of lambs and of he-goats. He said, what's the purpose of all these frenzy sacrifices? I've had my fills of all your offerings, all your big to-dos. Verse 12, when you come up here before me, who required this at your hand to tread? Who gave you the idea that this was a thing to do? And I'm going to be pleased with half-hearted worship, frenzy worship. Verse 13, bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and the Sabbath, the calling of the assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity. Even the solemn meeting, he said, your worship charades, in other words, I cannot stand. Your little trivial religious games don't appease me. They don't attract me. He's telling them that vain worship has no place with him. And he said, when you spread forth your hands, he said, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Your prayer performances, in other words, makes me want to turn my head with disgust and hide my face. Verse 16, wash you, make you clean. Put away the evils of your doing from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. In other words, he said, you got to clean up your act. Put away your doings, your evil doings. Stop your wrongfulness and learn to say no to wrong. Verse 17, learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. In other words, he said, you need to know what I love to do. You need to know what attracts me. Verse 18, he said, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, though you are in a pitiful condition, come reason with me. Let's get down to business, because they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I'm thankful today that God has a cleansing for our sins. Verse 19, if ye be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Tonight in this place, I'm thankful that God is still attracted to true worship. God is still attracted to those that will love him with a real heart. God's not looking for phony worship. God's not looking for pretension. God's not looking for ceremony. God's not looking for us just to come here tonight and go through the motion of another ritual service. But God is looking for somebody to give him the honor, to give him the praise from the bottom of their heart. God is looking for true worship. Isaiah, he gets to the point. We need to do what attracts God. And what does attract God? Isaiah 57 says in verse 15, for thus saith the Lord, high and lofty one that inhabit eternity, whose name is holy. He said, I dwell in the high and holy place with him that is of a contrite an humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. Amen. I want to just talk to us tonight. God is attracted to a contrite spirit. God is looking for somebody that is real on the inside, that is still of a heart of contrition. Amen. Also in Psalm the 34th chapter, verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that have a broken heart, and saveth to them that have a contrite spirit. You know, you can't even get close to God if you don't have a surrendered life, a surrendered heart. I want God to be more than just a little piece of my life. I want God to be the centerpiece of my life. Amen. Contrition. Amen. Contrition. Amen. And how amazing. Jesus, when he comes to Nazareth, in Luke the 4th chapter, verse 16, he comes to Nazareth of Galilee, where he'd been brought up. And the custom was, you go into the temple, and as a guest, you would have a time to read. And the Bible says, and there was delivered to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And Jesus took and he opened the book, and he found the place in the scripture where it was written. Said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, and to set them that are to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he closed the book. And he gave it to the minister and sat down. And everybody's eyes was, all their eyes was upon him, like, are you gonna get the reading? And Jesus spake these words. He said, this day is the scriptures fulfilled in your ears. And all that bear witness and wonder at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? Is that just that little boy that lived down the road, the carpenter's son? I want to tell you, Jesus is more than just a man. Jesus was more than just one that just stepped on the scene. He was more than Joseph's little boy. But he was God in the flesh. And he come to heal the brokenhearted. He come to set at liberty those that were captive in bondage. He come to do a work in the hearts of mankind. And Jesus is still God today. He's still the heart healer. He's still the life mender. You ought to give a praise to God tonight that he's healed your heart, that he's helped your brokenness. But you don't know how unwanted I am. We live in a world that most religions don't want certain types of people. But isn't amazing that Jesus will go to the unwanted of life, the rejected of life. Amen. I tell people all the time, amen, we spend from 9 to 5 every Thursday, and we have 5 services back to back at the county jail. And we have all these people there. Man, most of them, I see them all the time. And you say, I wouldn't dare waste my time. I wouldn't dare want them in my church. You know what I tell everybody? I said, you send them to us. We'll take the people nobody wants in their church. And when God gets done with them, they'll be the people everybody wished they had in their church. Because when you know what God has set you free from, and you know where God has brought you from, you will give God your best. This is a treasure to us. There's people in this building that had filthy habits of cocaine, drug addictions. They couldn't get away from certain things. I mean, they couldn't leave the alcohol alone. They couldn't leave problems alone. They couldn't leave whoremongering alone. But the power of God got in there. I'm glad that God takes people with poor reputations and bad reputations. Amen. I'm thankful that God sets free the captain, that one that has a record. Amen. That one that has a problem. Amen. The God of heaven still looks, and he will bring you out of a horrible pit and set you up on the rock of life and make you something. What a God we have. Amen. How wonderful to know that God does that. Amen. Praise God. We're not just all fixed up, dressed up tonight. Amen. This is not a funeral home, and we're not in a casket. But we're in the house of the King that has brought us a long ways. Amen. That brought us out of the horror of life. Amen. Out of the misery of life. Amen. Some were suicidal. Some were murderous. Some had all kind of problems and vengeance and bitterness. But the King of Kings has made a difference. The King has visited our life. And he has set us free. There's something about Jesus tonight. Amen. I was visiting with a denominal man not too long ago, and he looked at me and he said, "How many times a week you'll have church?" Well, I got to count, and I said, "For me, we go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and sometimes once a month we have a 2 o'clock service at the assisted living home. So, you know, we have that." But I said, "On Tuesday nights we have prayer meeting. On Thursday nights we have our midweek." And I said, "I do 5 services during the day, one at night." And he's looking at me. He said, "Man, why do you go to church so much?" I said, "I'm addicted to God. I'm addicted to what God has done for me. I can't get enough of this. Amen. This is so great to me that I can come to the house of God. Amen. This is the best high you'll ever get. This is the greatest thing that, hey, there's no hangovers. Amen. There's no problems. Amen. There's no bad tomorrow. When you live with a God who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What a mighty God we serve tonight. You want to give the Lord a hand of praise if he brought you out of the horror of life, if he brought you out of the stained life, out of the pollutions of life. You want to thank him for his mighty acts. You want to thank him for his excellency. Thank him for his goodness tonight. I am not who I used to be. No longer in chains. Pastor, you had a daddy that was a preacher. You was raised in church in a nice little nest. But little did my mom and daddy know, there was times I held the gun to my head thinking life wasn't worth living. And I had a nice home, a great family, and a praying mom and daddy. And I still hated myself till the day that God filled me with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Something happened in me. Amen. Oh, friend. And there's times the old devil wants to come back. The old spirit wants to creep back. But you know, I have a purpose in God. I have something in God that is great. Greater is he that is in me. Amen. There's a greater thing in my life now. I have a power. I have a love. I have something to live for in God. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. We're thankful today for the blessings of God. God's attracted to our lives. Why? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful lady married to a guy that, I mean, you go, what did she see in him? And you go, you scratch your head. How in the world did they get together? And I look and think, God, what did you see in my life? God, what in my life that you love and care about? That you would, Lord, love me of all people and all my misery, all my shame. You can't get rid of shame on your own. Amen. Yeah, you could go to a psych and they could lay you on their couch and they could talk all the noise that they know, and it'll still not deliver you from shame. But the power and the forgiveness and the blood of Jesus Christ, amen, will help you and free you from the shackles of shame and iniquity and hatred and bitterness. What a God we have tonight. Fear. Remember as a kid waking up with fear. Amen. Feeling that evil presence in my room. But mom and daddy taught me that when I woke up and I was afraid, and they said, "Son, only thing you gotta do is start saying Jesus. Jesus." Amen. I love to call his name. How about you? He's close as a mention of his name. I found all my life when I call on Jesus, he's present to help me. When I say the name of Jesus, it's a beautiful name. Amen. Oh, it's a pleasant name, but it's a powerful name. Amen. Neither is there salvation, the scripture says, in any other name. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other name you're going to be saved by. The name of Jesus Christ is a beautiful name to call on. You need some comfort, you start just saying, Jesus. You need to feel something in your life, you start saying the name of Jesus. Amen. There's times I get chill bumps on top of chill bumps. When I say the name of Jesus, I start feeling something divine. It's not just an emotion. I can remember there was an alcoholic we were talking to. We were teaching him a Bible study, and he wanted to be baptized. He repented, and we put him in the water and just to baptize him. And when I was talking to him, his name was Ronnie Morris. Ronnie looked at me and he said, what y'all put in this water? Y'all put bleach in here? He said, I feel bleach all over me. And about a few more days after that, we were talking to him. He said, there it is again. I feel that bleach on me again. I want to tell you, I feel something of God. Amen. Something starts crawling all over me. Amen. But more than just an emotion, it's the presence of the living God, the presence of the King of Kings. My God wants to draw us. My God wants to show us that he loves us and cares about us. I did not get religion when I got God. I'm sorry. I'm not Pentecostal by religion. I'm Pentecostal by that Holy Ghost experience that happened in my life. Church sign ain't gonna save me. Affiliation ain't gonna save me. Going to church don't save me. Like going to McDonald's don't make you a happy meal. I want to tell somebody, oh, but when you fall in love with God and you worship God, it attracts the King. It welcomes God. It blesses God to do something in your life. What attracts God? You have your Bible. Would you turn with me to Matthew, the 5th chapter? Things that attract God. The Sermon on the Mount. Jesus started teaching and talking. To tell them what would attract him. Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 12 is what I want to talk to you from. Amen. Matthew 5, we'll start at verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Normally when somebody's poor in spirit, everybody's going to look down at them and say, ah. But the one that is devoid of spiritual arrogance, those that regard themselves as insignificant, those that begin to realize that, you know, I have nothing. Without God, I'm a nobody. Without God, I don't have anything at all. Blessed is that person, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Hear me, friend, you're blessed when you get to the end of your rope. At the end of your rope is a blessed spot to be. When there's less of you, there's more of God and his rule in your life. I'm glad that when I come to God, amen, at the bottom of the bottom, there's more room for God in my life. At the end of your rope is a great place for you to find the greatness of God. Praise God. In fact, surrender reflects a broken, bankrupt condition. When a person's all messed up, bankrupt in life, their reputation, their character is poor, you're a great candidate for what God could do. Because you'll know, amen, you'll know the blessings and power of God. But you know what? Self-sufficiency is like Teflon. It repels God. When you're self-sufficient, your nose is in the air, you think, I don't need you, God. It's like Teflon. But when you're broken and you have a surrendered life, it's like Velcro. It attaches and it attracts God. I want to have that kind of deal where I attract the King of God, the King of Kings, the God of my salvation, the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Yeah? I look at that mourning here in the context of the scripture. Comfort and mourn. Blessed are the mourners, are those that mourn over their past, that are not happy where they came from, that are not proud, that are guilty, and they're ashamed of their past. They're mournful of the things in their past. Amen. They shall be comforted. Some say, I'm guilty without any regret or remorse. There's some people who have no remorse in their life, no contrition in their life. But the blessed ones are lamenting and repenting. I want to tell you, if you don't have repentance with lamenting, amen, you don't have true repentance. I'm sorrowful for my sin. I'm ashamed of my past, but I'm glad I have the blessings when I come to God repenting and lamenting of my past, and I mourn because I had not lived right. But oh, the glory of God that comes in. Hey, I want to welcome God. What attracts God is somebody that is repentant. We kind of talked about that this morning. Verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, meek doesn't mean weak. Every time we hear meek, we think of somebody just beaten down to nothing, humbled down. No, no, meekness here in the Word of God doesn't mean a weakness. Meekness here means a gentle refusing to be controlled by manipulation. I'm not going to be manipulated. I'm going to be gentle. I'm not going to be manipulated. It's the concept about strength under control rather than strength seeking control. Amen. I'm thankful today that God has a place for the gentle. Those that realize, no, I don't have to do that. Instead of making a big scene in life, amen, I don't have to go get a sign and protest. I don't have to get in people's face. Amen. Oh, when you're gentle and you're meek, amen, there's something about it. You're obedient to God. God loves obedience. God loves that submissive spirit. Oh, it's quiet, but it's right. God loves submission. God loves somebody just to say, Lord, I gently give myself over to you. I gently surrender myself. God is looking tonight, and he's attracted to somebody that will meekly surrender to him. I didn't say weakly, but I said meekly. Even when you give over to God, God has glory for your life. Amen. Verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We preach from this, and we talk and we quote this a lot of times. Amen. An appetite for what's right gets the attention of God. I got to have an appetite for what's right. There's some people who have no appetite for doing right. They'd rather stir things up. They'd rather be an agitator. They'd rather always stirring the pot, always aggravating people. They agitate, aggravate. They're part of the tater family, right? Agitate, aggravate. Amen. Always having this right here. Always. Amen. No. Blessed are they that have an appetite, that hunger and thirst after righteousness. I don't know about you. I don't want to keep doing wrong in my life. I don't want to keep being a loser. I don't want to keep keeping God away from me. I want what's right because I want the God of heaven in my life. I want the righteousness of God. I want the beauty of God. I want the blessings of God. I want to have power over my past. I want to have power over the vices that have controlled my life. Well, you got a hunger and you got a thirst after righteousness. You got to desire God. I'm going to tell you what. I love watching somebody that has a hunger. Amen. You don't have to beg somebody to eat when they're hungry. Amen. Even my wife and I, we like to watch somebody that will eat. Amen. There's kids that they're used to junk food. Amen. Always junk food, junk food, junk food. Amen. But Brother Murray, I watch your girls eat. Amen. They don't get much junk food. Amen. Their mama makes sure they don't. Amen. I watch those girls. I mean, they like good home-cooked food. Yesterday, after we had that birthday party, you had that brisket. You told me those girls were still eating brisket. Because they know what's good. Amen. Don't you want what's good? Amen. I don't want the badness in my life. I don't want sin in my life. I don't want wickedness. I want to stop with the things of God. I want to get what God has for me. I want to be filled with the glory and the blessings of the God of heaven. Somebody say amen. Isn't it strange? The atmosphere of a magnet has a field of force in which there's a pull, a literal strain, or it could be sometimes a push. This mysterious but real potent influence can be associated with that hunger and thirst after God's righteousness. I want something to draw me. I want there to be a push inside of me. I want something to be magnetized to the things of God. Amen. Oh, God's not going to make an inmate out of you. God's not going to make somebody, amen, live for him. God don't hijack you and God don't kidnap you. But I want to tell you, when you hunger and you thirst after righteousness and you desire God, amen, God loves it and he's attracted to those that will attract themselves. He said, draw nigh to me and I will draw nigh to you. You need to make your move tonight. You need to get hungry for God. You need to make your way to God. Verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall attain mercy. In other words, thank God for the caring soul. Blessed are the merciful. They're more than just a caring person. They're a sharing person. Caring and sharing, merciful. They shall receive mercy themselves. God's attracted to these things. I'm telling you. He's attracted to it. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are those that are purely devoted to the things of integrity, morality, that have a godly courage and a godly character, that are pure, that says, God, I want to keep some things clean and right. Amen. I want to keep some things clean in my life. I want to keep my heart pure before God. I don't have time to constantly have to worry. I don't know about you. I don't like nasty things. I don't want to be like that man on the job that my dad seen where he was working on a construction job. And he said there was people that would pump out these old outhouses on the job. These porta cans, porta johns, what do they call them? You know, these mobile outhouses. He said, here's a guy that had a truck, and he's pumping out one of these outhouses, holding the hose inside that outhouse, and he's eating a sandwich. That's nasty. I don't want to be around any kind of septic thing. I don't want to be around any impure thing. I don't want to be anything that will contaminate in my relationship with God. I want the pure things of God. Blessed are the pure in heart, but they shall see God. What a promise tonight. God's attracted to the pure and those that want to keep things pure. Amen. Verse number 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Peacemakers. And to be a peacemaker, you have to be a peace maintainer. There's a sense of cooperation rather than competition. There's something about cooperation. Peace is a welcoming attitude. Man, I know people, again, that like to stir up things, that enjoy causing trouble. Wherever they go, you're just going to get ready. They're going to cause trouble. If they got onions on their burger, they're going to make a scene instead of being a peacemaker. I know you paid for that hamburger, but you don't have to get in that person's face and cause a problem. Because everybody know in East Texas, they know who you are. And they're going to say, I thought they had something with God. But now your mouth is telling off on you that you don't. Amen. Blessed are the peacemakers. Amen. There's times that I've got onions on my, I don't like onions on a hamburger. If I want onions on a burger, I want them grilled and cooked. I don't like raw onions. Amen. You may like it. That's your opinion. Amen. But oh, there's been times they put onions on it. And I just, well, thank you, ma'am. And she'll come back. She said, everything tastes good. Yes, it was. It was good. Because I pulled them off. Amen. There's sometimes you're going to have to learn to pull some things off. Amen. Peacemakers or peace maintainers. Amen. Blessed are those that learn how to do this, for there they shall be called the children of God. Verse number 12, rejoice. Verse 10, I'm sorry, I skipped one. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Jesus is talking about those that are persecuted because of a moral choice, their conscious choice to honor God. They didn't bow or bend to sin. They stood their ground when everybody else was against them. They said, we're not going to bow. Thank God for the Daniels. Thank God for the three Hebrew children. Thank God for people that said, no, we're not going to participate. Thank God for people that would stand for God and those that are persecuted for that. Theirs is the kingdom. God is attracted to those that would stand for him. You stand for God, God's going to stand for you. Amen. Now, verse 12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted the prophets which were before you. He said, be glad and joyful, for your reward is going to be for you. Heaven applauds those that seek him and those that stand for him. You found some things here that God's attracted to. The Bible also says God's attracted to the prayer of a righteous man. James, the fifth chapter, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much with God. I'm telling you, God loves to answer prayers, but you had to have a fervent and you had to have a prayer life and you had to have a righteous heart. When you're righteous, amen, God will answer your prayer. I'm telling you, God's attracted to righteousness. God's attracted to right things when you obey his word. I want to just say this tonight. My opinion don't count. Your opinion don't count. Everybody's got an opinion, and it's like a trash can. It stinks. But God's opinion matters. This book's going to be right 9 times out of 9, friend. Amen. This book's going to be right. Hey, God's opinion matters. Amen. I had some people tell me, oh, but I feel. You can give them the word of God. You can tell them what the word of God says. And they come back and say, but I feel. You know what? I look at them and say, I feel too, but it don't matter what I feel and what you feel. It matters what God feels. It don't matter what you think, honey. If the word of God tells you to repent of your sins, amen, you have no option but to repent. If the word of God tells you you must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you have no option but to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for the privilege to live for God. Prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Jesus was attracted to those that had a right spirit. And faith, he's attracted to faith. I love that ever since I was a little boy in Sunday school, we sung about that little short man. His name was, what was it? Zacchaeus. And we used to sing those little Sunday school songs. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. What did he do? He climbed up in. Why? Y'all know it, don't you? But you know what? He made efforts because he wanted to see Jesus Christ. There was a great crowd, and he was a short man. Amen. But he climbed up the tree, amen, because he wanted to see Jesus. And of all the people there, Jesus comes up to the tree, and he said, Zacchaeus, oh, won't you come down? Amen. Who, me? Yes, you. You see, Jesus knew his faith, and Jesus went to Zacchaeus' house that night. Amen. I want to tell somebody, the Lord knows who come looking for him. The Lord knows who come seeking him. The Lord today knows your need tonight. Do you have the faith to come to see God? Are you just come to another service? You just come tonight just to sit and be entertained? When church becomes your entertainment, you're in high water. You need to come see God. Hallelujah. You need to come seek him. God was attracted to Zacchaeus' attitude and faith. The next one that I love the story about blind Bartimaeus. He was blind, sitting on the highway side begging. Here Jesus was coming his way. And Bartimaeus knew he couldn't see Jesus, but he could hear the excitement of the crowd. He knew Jesus was coming his way. So the Bible says, Bartimaeus began to cry out loudly, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." He started crying out. He's sitting on by the roadside, sitting there crying out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And the crowd kind of got agitated. And somebody come, "Blind man, Bartimaeus, you need to be quiet, calm it down. And you're in a crowd, you need to use your manners." But Bartimaeus, he started crying out the more, a great deal, the Bible says, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And all of a sudden, Jesus stopped. I love it when we get the attention of God Almighty, and God stops. Jesus stopped right there. And he called for the blind man to come to him. And somebody said, "Bartimaeus, the master's calling for you." And this is the beautiful thing. He cast his beggarly robe aside and left it there. And he came to Jesus. You know what that's symbolic of? He left his beggarly garment, his identity. Everybody knew a beggar by the what they wore. He left it there and came to Jesus. And the Lord says, "What do you want me to do?" He said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." And the Lord said, "By your faith be thou made whole." And immediately his eyes was open. He didn't go back and get his robe. But you know what the Bible says? He started following Jesus in the way. Amen. I want to tell somebody tonight, the Lord is looking for somebody to get a hold of him. Amen. Your cry, he's attracted to a cry of faith. He's attracted to somebody that will say, "Jesus, have mercy on me. I'm undone. I'm in a bind. I'm in a pickle. I'm in a situation I can't get out of. But Lord, I know you can get me out." Somebody has to have faith tonight and say, "Lord, help me." And when the Lord does his work, you don't need to go back to it. You don't need your beggarly garments anymore. Amen. Because the master's calling, you need to learn to follow Jesus in the way. The problem is we go back to the same problem over and over again. When God's wanting us to follow him, my. Amen. You ought to lift your hands and say yes to God tonight. There's somebody God's speaking to very directly in this place. Amen. God's trying to get your attention. God's attracted to somebody that will say yes to him. Somebody that would give over to him. Come on, your hands ought to be lifted and saying, "God, right here tonight. I need you right here in my life. I need more than religion. I need more than sensationalism. I need your power. I need your presence. I need your glory. I need your holiness and righteousness in me." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord's looking for a surrender. Amen. Brother Colton, I need you to step up here. We do this often, but I want to use it again tonight. I love to do this in the jail, Brother Colton. I'll say, "Stick them up." You know what this means? I surrender. This is not sticking them up. If I say stick them up, that's not getting up, because what can you do if I had a gun right there? You pick your hand up and move my gun, see? But when I say stick them up, this is a sign of surrender. But tonight, God don't have a stick them up at you. God's not here to shoot you. God's here to love you. Why do you raise your hands in church? Number one, it's a sign of surrender. It's a sign, "God, I give up." I don't care what country you go to, what nationality you go to. This is a universal sign of surrender. Let me say, you'll never have victory in Jesus until you learn to surrender. Brother Colton, if this was a back boxing match and you just became the winner, or if this was the Olympics, and you just won the gold, they take your hands and they raise them up like this, a sign of victory. Why we raise our hands in church? Because we first surrender and we want the victory of God in our life. Amen. Somebody's been needing victory in the Holy Ghost. You need to learn the sign. This ain't it. Amen. This ain't it. But you need to stick them up above your head. The Bible teaches us to lift up our hands. Amen. And reach up to God. Amen. You've been in a miserable shape in your life. Won't you reach up to the King of Kings and say, Lord, help me. I need you. Have mercy on me. One more illustration, and we're supposed to come to this altar. We're supposed to come to the front of the church. God's attracted to the faith of individuals. Jesus was en route to the ruler of the synagogue's house named Jairus. Jairus had met Jesus as Jesus was traveling, walking through, and he said, Sir, my little daughter's at the point of death. Would you come? And as Jesus was making his way, the crowd began to come and follow Jesus. And the Bible says the crowd began to grow, and they literally began to throng Jesus. People just all around Jesus. Such a tight crowd began to press their way around Jesus. And there was a woman that knew what was happening. And she, the Bible says, had an issue of blood for 12 years. Her body was hemorrhaging. For 12 long years in the Jewish religion and culture, if you had hemorrhaging, you were considered unclean. You could not go into the temple. You could not touch anybody because you was considered unclean. 12 long years. The Bible says she tried many physicians and she spent all she had on these physicians. She was broke, she was weak in body, and the scripture says very plainly in the book of Mark, she tried many physicians, spent all she had, and never grew better, but grew worse. Her weakening condition, but she heard that Jesus was near. And even though there's a crowd of people, and she knew that she was not supposed to touch anybody, that was unlawful for somebody to touch somebody. If you were unclean, you could not touch them. But the Bible says she said in herself, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, not his leg, not his foot, not his hand, not any place, but just to his garment, I know in myself that I will be made whole. And the Bible says she made her way through the thronging press of people. And she came in from behind Jesus as he was walking, careful not to touch. And she went and she reached out and touched the hem of his garment. She had to get low, didn't she? To touch the hem of his garment. And when she touched the hem of his garment, Jesus stopped. He didn't say, who touched my hand? Who touched my foot? Who touched my leg? He said, who touched my clothes? And immediately in her, she felt virtue. And the fountain of her blood, that hemorrhaging, stopped immediately. And she said, it was me. At that moment, every eye was on her and she could have been in trouble. But Jesus said, I haven't seen so great faith in all of Israel. Go your way, ma'am. Your faith has made you whole. The Lord's attracted to somebody that would press their way through all the chaos and touch him. The Lord's in this room right now. You may have never felt the Spirit of God at all in your life. Amen. It may be your first time ever to feel something supernatural and divine. Amen. But tonight I feel that somebody needs to reach out and touch the Lord. Amen. The Lord is in this place right now. Amen. I want you to lift your hands. I want you to reach out to the Lord. Amen. Somebody, amen, get a hold of God. You've been needing something in your life. God's ready to fulfill you. God is ready to help you. God is ready to give you completion in your life. You've been so incomplete. Your life has been falling apart. You've been in need of some help from above. Tonight's your night. If you would pray. press your way. Amen. And reach to God right now. He wants to touch you. Hallelujah. God's ready to prove himself. Ma'am, young lady in this place, the King, amen, will stop in his tracks when you reach out to him. He's ready to stop just for you and touch you when you reach to him. We talked about repentance a while ago. A surrender. A godly sorrow. A remorseful thing saying, God, forgive me. Tonight, God is waiting on you to make the move. He's been ready. And he's attracted to somebody that will make that move of faith. Amen. Stand in this building. And I want you to stay where you're at. Amen. I don't want us to go to the sides, but I want us to come right to the front, closest we can, right up here. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't want you to wait. I don't want you to think twice about it. I want you to come to the front real quickly. Amen. And say, God, I come to touch you. I come to get what you have for my soul. I come, Lord, to make a move tonight, Lord. Amen to you, Lord Jesus. I come to touch you with my faith right now. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? I need more than religion. I need more than just a touch. I need your hand. I need your spirit. Hallelujah. Stretch your hands as high as you can and surrender. I give, I give, I give, I give, I give, I give, I give. Go ahead. Come on, let the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of God Almighty is to reach in your life with grace and power. I need you, Jesus. Come on, just relax and enjoy the presence of the Lord. Enjoy the presence of the King. God wants to put his attention on your life. He wants to put his attention on your troubles that you've been going through. That internal thing in your mind that you have battled for years, God is ready to help you with. Go ahead, brother. He's attracted to somebody who's just open heart, honest with him. Would you tell him you need him? God, I sure need you right now. I can't go further. I can't go a step further. I need you right now. I've tried it all. I need your grace. I need your power. Don't you dare be ashamed. He's not ashamed of you tonight. Don't be ashamed to open up the heart valve. If tears come, let the tears flow. Even don't be afraid to weep before God. He loves those that are remorseful and repenting. Let the Holy Ghost right now, Spirit of God, would you settle in this room right now? Settle in this place, oh God. I need your touch. I need your grace. I need your power. I need you right now, Jesus. Come on, God's for you right now. Amen. You feel the presence of God. Don't be afraid of it. Let God. Let God right now. Hallelujah. I surrender, Lord. I give to you, Lord. I give my life. I give it all to you, Lord. I give everything to you tonight. In the name of Jesus. Come on, God wants more of you. Everything you got, empty it all out. Even God has a special touch for your life.
Oh,
give the Lord a hand of praise tonight? Give him that praise. Give him that love. Give him that worship.
Feel lost, he's a way maker.
God for your personal answer. Amen. There's people in this place that needed an answer tonight. I don't know about you. I come for more than a touch. We talked about it this morning. There's some people satisfied with a touch from God. I don't want a touch from God. I want the hand of God. I want God's hand on my life. Rachel, Rebecca, I want the hand of God all in my life. Because I know if I have the hand of God, God's going to bless me wherever I go. The anointing of God's hand on my life. Amen. More than a touch. The hand of God. The blessings of the God of heaven in my soul. Hallelujah. Feels good to feel God tonight. And I feel that there's an answer of prayer tonight for somebody in this room. You come tonight with a need. And there's somebody tonight, you haven't realized what God's done for you yet.